Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here.
Yes, we are.
Hi.
Brianna.
Hi.
I went out for an hour run today.
Ew.
2 hours and 10 minutes later, I stumbled out of the fog. Literally, my mental and the fog that was in Santee at the time and all the trails that go all the way to Poway.
Yeah, foggy this morning.
I've had a lot of coffee.
I woke up today and put my hair in space buns and got coffee and drove here.
I hope everybody gets to see the email because you're rocking the Princess Leia kind of thing.
Couldn't go to Disneyland, so I made my own.
Is it because of Star Wars week?
Yeah, we'll say that. We'll say
okay,
that.
Cool.
We'll say that.
That's a perfect segue. Justin Loftus is with us. He does a great event we're going to talk a little bit about. But this month is Mental Health Month, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure. In fact, you're another one of those people that everybody knows. Whenever I mention your name, they go, oh, yeah, dude, he's such a good dude. Yeah, everybody knows him. Brianna's aunt knows you.
Yeah. Yeah, she was a firefighter, a deputy chief.
She was a chief, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't just say fire. She was way up there.
She was deputy chief.
High ranking. She's
now
a big deal.
Is
your
director.
Aunt?
Yeah, now she's a director for Southwestern College Fire Academy. But every time I meet anybody that's like a firefighter or police officer, I'm always like, do you happen to know my aunt?
Name dropping.
In the store, at the park. Just to check, because I think it's fun.
I've been doing it around Foothills, and obviously everybody that listens to this doesn't go to Foothills. They want to, but some of them live in South Carolina.
Yeah.
It's a long drive.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. When I ask about Justin Loftus, it's the same thing. Oh, yeah, I know that guy.
That's
right. Everybody does. How long have you been hanging out at Foothills?
Only a couple of years. We were actually, my wife and I were looking for schools for our kids, and so we were shopping. And so we didn't know what church we wanted to belong to, what school we wanted to send our children to. And so we heard great things about Foothills. So we're like, that was actually our third church that we were trying. And so we went to Foothills, and we're like, let's see how this goes. And we walked in the first service, and we're like, yep, that's it. It was almost immediate. And both of us were like, do we need to do anything else? Like, where do we sign? Bad. And so we looked into the school and got our kids in, and we've been going ever since. So it's our third year.
Amazing.
So about 3 or 4 years.
One thing that's really cool, you know, they talk about God is he's new every morning. He just does amazing things. I felt the exact same way with my 5 kids. 25 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing.
Yeah.
And still feel it.
Yeah.
That's not to be taken for granted.
No, not at all. It was a complete blessing. It was just like the at ease, the peace, the weight off the shoulders. It was just like, yeah, we're good.
You got to take your tie off and your suit jacket off.
Yeah.
It's amazing the encounter that people have with the Holy Spirit that first time.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
God is very good. And what's cool too is right now we were talking with Miles McPherson a couple of weeks ago about Just One, where all these churches from all over San Diego County, all sorts of different flavors, some theological tweaks and end times and do you speak in tongues, don't speak in tongues and all of that are coming together for the single purpose of leading people to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's beautiful, the unity of the body of Christ. So tell us about your family and how you came to the Lord and all that.
So my wife, Jess, and I got married. This is our 10th year. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And we have Wyatt and Eleanor. Wyatt just turned 8, just had a rad birthday party for him at Lake Poway.
Took a bunch of
8-year-olds fishing. If you've ever done that.
Tried.
Yeah. Take your medication. Take your blood pressure pill before you leave.
Yeah.
Just because you're afraid that everyone's going to hook themselves in the ear. And you're like, whoa. And you're doing like the Spider-Man meme where you're pointing at everybody at the same time. I'm going to be over here. But the kids had a blast. And then my daughter, Eleanor, is 6 and a half. They're exactly 1.5 years apart. They're both born on the 8th of the month. Mm. So they're exactly 6 months apart. We have a birthday every six months on the dot.
That's so cool.
Which is pretty cool. Both absolutely amazing children. Both go to Foothills and they absolutely love it. And can't say enough about that school and obviously our church. How I came to the Lord, I was listening to the podcast, your most recent one, and they were saying I was raised in the faith but didn't come of the faith and be believing until later in life. And that was how I was raised. By my dad's side was Baptist, and so they were the super hardcore, if you think about beer you're going to hell kind of thing. And then my mom's side was Lutheran, and so I was raised in the church on both sides, which was amazing. But it wasn't until like middle school age, I was having some really rough times, and went and hooked up with Bonita Valley Christian Center. They were awesome. They had a teen center over there and a bunch of really cool guys. And then went to Monta Vista High School and ended up becoming the president of the Alpha Omega Christian Club over there my sophomore year. And they were like, yeah, dude, this is awesome. took that over, and I got baptized as a sophomore or junior in high school.
Wow.
At Sunrise. So East County, keeping it local. And so since then, it's been an amazing journey of intimacy with the Lord, but like everybody, highs and lows. I actually worked with Miles McPherson at The Rock for 3 years. I was on their security and first aid staff for 3 years. My wife and I had kids. We stopped going, trying to figure out life. And it was a drive from, we live in East County out to Point Loma. And so we put a pause on that. And then it was, all right, we're having kids. We need to get back into it. And so then we were shopping for schools, and we've been absolutely in love with Foothills ever since. There was a time, speaking of coming up, I was 25 years old. I was working in a restaurant, and I was just existing. I didn't have a whole lot of meaningful purpose, and something in me was just like, okay, like, time to be a man. And that was honestly the conversation I had with myself. I was like, it's enough just floating around, just getting by, just being part of whatever comes along. And I started thinking that, and it was on my heart. And I had a friend of mine at the restaurant say, hey, I'm going to run a marathon. You should run a marathon with me.
Of course.
And I was like, yeah. I was 25. I'd never run more than 2 miles my entire life on purpose. And I was like, there's no way. And she was like, no, you have to do this. I need somebody to train with. And I was like, okay, begrudgingly, okay. And then we started running, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a thing. Like, maybe this is the thing that breaks me out of, it gets me to my next level. And so right then, like, I committed to my first real goal in life, which was, I'm going to run 10 marathons in 10 years. I just put it out there. And I was like, I'm going to lay the next 10 years of my life out. I'd never run more than 2 miles.
That sounds like a 25-year-old guy.
No, really, yeah, truly does. 1,000%. And so what happened was, the next year, I ran my first marathon, and it was, I was on fire for that, which got me on fire for doing my next step in life. And I got a hold of one of my old youth pastors, Brian Hendry at Sunrise, which is an amazing person. Mm-hmm. Love Brian. I called him and said the same thing. Brian, ready to be a man. And he was like, who is this? I was like, hey, dude.
How did you get my number?
He's like, I haven't heard from you in a couple of years. It was absolute blessing. And he was like, all right, dude, let's do this. What's the game plan? Let's go. And so it was the next year after that I met my wife. It was the next year after that I became an EMT and got my firefighter and paramedic career and rejoined with the Lord. And it was, that was kind of a catalyst.
It is just more evidence. And I want everybody to check me on this one. The best worship songs all have running in them. Running is life. Look at what it does.
We started with running this morning.
Look there we go. See? And I made it this time. But that's just funny. How I feel about it. It might not be exactly true with a capital T. So then we got to the part where you found this, I think I might want to be a firefighter. You start with EMT, which a lot of people do, right? So how did that go? Did you always want to be one ever since you were a kid?
No. So my father is a firefighter and engineer and captain that's since retired. And my brother, since he was the guy that, I'm 5 years old, I'm going to play with fire engines. Like, he was that kid. And when he graduated high school, he went to EMT school. Mm. And then he was that young kid that started on that path. And so I went to his academy graduation a couple years after he had worked on an ambulance. And I'm sitting there watching him cut up cars and put out fire. And dude.
Like,
gotta go.
This is better than running a marathon.
This is better than serving food down the street. And I absolutely loved my job. And that was another way. You also talk about how there's so many different ways to reach out to people. And I worked in a restaurant, and it was a massive blessing of the people that I was able to, didn't know that I had to pray over inside of a restaurant. Like, are you serious? Is that happening?
So as a server, you did that?
Yes.
And sweet!
Sidebar, but
goes both ways, man.
Yeah. But back to that, I watched the academy presentation of my brother graduating his fire academy, and I was like, there goes whatever plans I had in that. I'm gonna do this now. And so I signed up right after that to become an EMT, and then I got my paramedic license, and then did a couple of academies to get my references up and experience, and worked for Cal Fire and Sam McGill, and now I'm with San Diego City. I've been there for 13 years.
Wow.
So,
could we take a quick step back? I want to know about servers praying for who at the restaurant?
I was quite a personality, very extroverted. I used to get on tables and sing like old, like 50s tunes to people for their birthdays, and like just get all.
Okay, quick demonstration.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it would be beautiful. Like the Top Gun song, like, you never close your eyes.
Yeah.
And so we would find out it would be somebody's birthday, and then we would just do the routine.
Wow.
Excuse me, ma'am, how's your food? I got this. And they would just be like, you never close your eyes. And it would just start right there. And we would just have the entire restaurant singing.
That's wow. awesome.
The song.
Oh, that's
and we'd be like,
I love baby. It.
And it was awesome.
I want to eat there
I
right
now. There.
And so that was the cool part of my relationship with, it was Pat and Oscar's right over here at the mall.
Wow. Oh, man.
And so I worked there for a long time. But yeah, I got to make so many amazing relationships. And I had, it's going to get me choked up. I'm one of those people. As soon as I start talking about something, the voice changes. Let's go. Gotta stretch for it. But I had sang over a lady that I didn't know at the time was a counselor, and she did mental health stuff for teenagers and things like that, which doesn't have anything to do with my mental stuff, but just sidebar. And her friend was like, hey, it's her birthday, to like the restaurant people, oh, bring out the cake and do that, whatever. And so I was like, oh, I got this all day, this is what I'm built for. You don't even know who you're talking to right now. And so we did the whole bit, and she was like, this is the best thing ever. And she said thank you, and she was a repeat customer. So her and her friend would get a lunch break together, and they would come in all of the time after that. She came in by herself one time, and I was like, hey, what's up, and how are you? And she goes, I just had to be around you today. I was like, what does that mean? And she's like, my mom died, and I needed that spark.
Aww.
And I was like, and so I just got to hug her right there in the restaurant, and we had so many connections like that.
You just never know.
You never know. And so it was just really cool. And so throughout my time at Pat and Oscar's, we had a lot of people that I met, a lot of people that I absolutely loved, and a lot of families that I got to know. And there was a family, the Vargas family, they have 8 kids, and they would come in and we'd have a kids night free, like the kids eat free, like Wednesdays or whatever that kind of thing is. So they would come in, of course, try and take advantage of that, because who has $50,000 per meal when you have that many kids? And so we would have caterings that were canceled or people that wouldn't pick up a pizza. And every time they came in, I'm like, hey, you got room in your car to take this home? And they were like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And I ended up DJing all of their kids' weddings. I've been over to their house several times. The girls all watched The Bachelor. And so I would bring breadsticks to the house and watch The Bachelor back in the day. First season, like, to date myself. But yes, but it was just the relationships that came from that, and being open to talking to people and having that fun and being able to use what God gave me, which is just that interactional part that I was blessed with.
Yeah.
And so that's how that kind of happened. I was able to pray with her when her mom passed away, just asking for, hey, everything's going to be okay, we're going to get through this, and kind of thing. And she, it was awesome. Yeah.
And that's the best part, is using what God gave you and not having to be like anything that you're not. That's like the beauty of evangelism. And like, you're literally just loving people the way that you would love people,
so,
which is great.
Yeah, the way he made you. Right? Yeah. Because you're going to really mess it up trying to be somebody else.
Yeah.
He made us different for a purpose.
Yeah, I don't run marathons. I don't surf. I don't run marathons.
You do sing soulfully, darling.
I sing. I like books. Maybe I'll meet you on a jet ski out there. I'll jet ski, but like, you're not going to... I will probably not be evangelizing at any rock and roll marathons unless I'm on the sidelines.
How could you? So 20,000 people dress up like Santa Claus or something. Yeah. I've done that. Okay, back to this. You obviously have a heart for people, and you're not afraid to go after that and use what God's given you.
Absolutely.
How does this work with Motors for Minds?
Yeah, that was my question.
I want to get to that, because this is going to come up on Monday.
Okay.
Everybody's going to hear this, and then everybody's going to come to this event that raises... You tell them what it does. I know what it does, but I want you to put it in here. How you dreamed it up, and what was the seed of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the seed starts back right before I went to Benita Valley Christian Center, like in the middle school and high school. And I had a really rough time. Parents divorced when I was 8. Mom... we probably moved into 20 different houses by the time I was in high school, and it was boyfriend's houses, grandparents' houses, different apartments, moved all over the place. And my dad was that firefighter, but he was removed, and it was like we got to see him like once a month on Saturdays kind of thing. He'd pick us up from school, whatever, and it would be like, oh, I gotta, anyways. But yeah, so there was some tough times with a single mom trying to raise me and my brother. I have a younger brother that's 4 years younger than me. He was the other firefighter. And so just, I'm growing up, going through puberty, trying to figure myself out. My mom is trying to hold down her job and take care of us and figure out who's going to pick us up from school every day and where we're going to be and all this other stuff. So looking hindsight, how hard was that? Now, me as a 14-year-old kid who absolutely knew everything that there ever was in the entire world, obviously. Yeah.
It's amazing how we forget all that stuff that we knew so well once we get older.
Seriously. That translated into us fighting a lot, and I had a really hard time, and I used to call my dad because he was my hero. and asked, hey, can you, I need to live with you. I need to be out of mom's house. She doesn't understand. She doesn't get it. And, but dad would never, he was never come pick me up, never do that kind of stuff. And so I fell into like the, what I can look back now and be like a really deep depression. It was like, oh, my dad's not here for me. I don't know what's going on. I know I'm not a bad kid. I'm just personality struggles with my mom. And she's, I, like I said, looking back now, I know she was trying to figure things out, nothing to blame on her at all. And so I became suicidal, and I had two times that I had my note, and we lived on an apartment complex, and I went up to the top of the complex, and I was like, all right, this is it of it. This is all, I don't need to do this anymore. And I had recently broken one of my arms, and there was a retired cop across the way. And so whenever my mom would have these shouting matches, she would go get this guy to intimidate me to, you know, she was doing the best she could.
Yeah, single mom.
And so this guy was maybe not the best person to come over and do anything. And he ended up grabbing my broken arm and slammed me down on the table. And I was just like, so I was in a really bad place. And I had always had that with me, and overcame that by going, I went to Bonita Valley Christian Center, met a bunch of really cool guys my age, and was like, okay, like I can get through this. I have a support system now. My mom would drop me off at these church things. And I was like, okay. So I came out of that. Thank Jesus. Yeah. But I was like, I need to tell people that are in that space that it's okay. And I didn't know.
Even how, back then you felt that.
But I didn't know how to translate that. Sure, I knew it was like, I was like, there has to be other people that are like this. It's not like you go around freshman year saying, hey, have you ever thought of, nobody knew.
Yeah.
No one knew that I had even written those notes, because I came back off the roof bawling and crying and ripping it up and throwing the trash can. So it was years later that I had a friend of mine who's tattooed on my arm right here. My friend Louis, he committed suicide. He was in the army, and he got out, and he didn't know what his purpose was after the military. And he had a girlfriend breakup, and he had depression in high school that he was taking medication for. And so he had gotten off of that. We had been roommates for a while, and I met him through my cousin. He ended up going to his mom saying, Mom, I don't feel right again. I want my head to be right. I want to get on some medication. And you read all the side effects of this medication, and one of the main side effects is you're going to get way low before you feel effects of being okay. And in that period, he took his life. And that was devastating to me, because I was like, oh, he went through what I went through. But he unfortunately saw it through to the end. So again, that yearning to like, I have to tell people this is okay. Like there's stuff beyond this. And so I was like, when I became an EMT, I got to start praying over people again. So I would go on these teen suicide attempts and these adult suicide attempts and these people that had lost their children to accidents and lost their loved ones. And I was in the ambulance with them. I was their paramedic. I was their EMT. And I found myself saying it again. I was like, is it okay if I pray with you? And they would just start crying, and I hand on the shoulder and pray with them to the hospital after treating them. And I was like, okay, I found my next step. I found what else I can do. I can bring God. I can bring hope a little bit. And then, but I was like, still in my head, I know I'm physically treating these people and spiritually shining a little bit of light. I was like, there's still something else. There's still something else I can do. Not being on the other side of the 1-800 suicide line. Hi, how are you? What's going on today? I knew I couldn't do that. And I don't know why, because I like talking to people. But I knew that answering the phone line, and that's the only thing that I knew of at that time. It's like,
gotcha, sure.
Yeah, when you need help, you call the suicide hotline.
I got a buddy that takes his phone with him, that phone, everywhere he goes.
So anyways, got on the fire department, got on after I was an EMT and a paramedic for 6 years, and got on the fire department, and then found out that firefighters were committing suicide. And we had a couple of my own department that unfortunately succumbed to those thoughts and those actions. And I'm part of a classic car, or like a car club on Facebook with firefighters. And so I put a post out one day saying, hey, if you're available, let's just meet up at a Denny's and say what's up to each other and just get together. And after one of our own had passed away, and I got all these replies, and it was like, Planet will be there, Planet will be there, Planet will be there. And then it was like, boom,
yeah,
light went off the top of the head. I was like, oh, maybe this is my thing. And so I was like, okay. So it took me a little while. I started in April of 21 22, and I couldn't get something out in May, because May is Mental Health Month. And so I was like, I'll just take a year and I'll plan it proper for the next year.
There you go.
And so I got the word out, got all the things that I could together. And I was like, if 20 people show up to this, great. I'm going to try and raise 10 grand. We'll see what happens. And I start going around to local businesses and sending messages on Instagram to all these random local places. Hey, can you sponsor us? Can you donate something for a fundraising raffle? And I got with Firefighter Aid, who's a nonprofit that helps firefighters in San Diego County. And they said, yeah, we'll take your donation and we'll make sure that mental health resources get disseminated throughout firefighters. So the day came and we had 175 registered cars and we had 2,500 people show up to our event.
Wow.
Was that at El Monte? Did we show up at that one?
At El Monte Park. You were there.
Yeah, because Neil said, we're doing this. Who's Justin Loftus? But Neil Fair said, enough. We're doing this. And I went, okay. No. He meant, I'm doing this. but the team loves it. They go every single year. They love being there. That's an amazing start. Where has it gone since then?
Yeah, so this is our third annual event this year. So it's May 17th at El Monte Park this year. And we're hoping to...
What's the cost?
It's free for spectators. So anybody that wants to come hang out, check it out. It's free. The vehicle registrations are $40, and that's just all donations to the cause. So if you want to register your 93 Ford Bronco, go for it. We'll take your money. It doesn't have to be. We do have $250,000 race trucks and like Impalas that are on hydraulics, and we have all kinds of rad stuff. But then we have my car. I have a 72 Chevy Suburban. It's a yellow banana, if you've ever seen it. I drive it to church on the weekends. And that thing is all scratched up because I bought it from a grandpa that used to hate his mailbox and run right into it every morning. And so I haven't done any of the outside work to it, but the inside's all redone and the underneath is all done. Drivetrain's all brand new. But it's a beater. But
it's the passion.
It's our daily driver. Yeah. But it's just the fun. Yeah. This is the people talking about it and getting out there and bringing people out.
Brianna is really cool because when you go, we're going to set up. So we go early. Mm. And all of these cars are down El Monte Road.
Yes.
Just waiting to get in and
which
get their
the
spot.
Site alone has to be pretty cool. Because I'd love to have a drone shot of that.
You know what? Rico Molden comes in and he goes, oh, you don't have service out here, so we bring some kind of satellite thing.
Yes.
What was it?
There we Starlink. Starlink.
Starlink. Yes. Yeah. It gets it all set up. I'm going, who's Rico Molden?
Another Foothills guy from Molden Works. He does all kinds of audiovisual stuff.
Oh, I know. Yeah, he's a buddy. Yeah, he's doing a project for us, too.
Yeah, he's very talented.
You're down to showcase my 2021 4Runner.
Please do.
Okay, there
we would love to have it. Accept it with open arms.
And on top of it, there's another part of this. So you've got this cool car show and a great place and tons of people showing up. Mm-hmm. But then you also have some other resources that are there, too, which is what we're part of at Foothills.
Absolutely. So we have a ton of mental health resources that are doing this. And the three goals for this whole thing is to raise funds and awareness, to show the fire and first responder community that there is a ton of people out there. We have 30 departments in San Diego County, which people think like the fire department is the fire department, and that's not true.
No.
So San Diego City, we have 50 stations by ourselves, and then we have all of the outlying Chula Vista, Coronado, Carlsbad, Poway, El Cajon, La Mesa, Lakeside, Santee, Cal Fire. All of those are their own separate fire departments. And getting all of those together, showing, hey, we have community and support from all over the place.
Yeah.
And then third is that we have these mental health resource bags. So mental health resource bags are given out by our volunteers. Thank you, Miramar College. They put our event on their calendar as an attendance for the academy to show community. Hey. Matt Jewett over there at the Miramar Fire Academy has put that on their school calendar.
That's wonderful.
So they come out and volunteer every year. It's a complete blessing. And they go around and they ask, hey, are you a first responder, military, police, fire, EMS dispatch? And they go, oh, yeah, I am. My wife or my husband is. And so they get one of these bags. And in those bags, I have 20 different resources from camping trips to horse riding to fishing to jiu-jitsu to yoga to podcasts to counseling sessions to small groups that they can go onto and check out and get whatever type of health resource they feel most comfortable
Amazing.
With. So they don't even have to be like, hey, I'm going to raise my hand. Excuse me, my head's messed up. Can I get some help over here? Because nobody's going to do that, especially the prideful, strong services that we provide in first responder world. So they just leave more equipped than when they came in, whether they want to or not. Yeah. And so if they know somebody that's having trouble, be like, hey, dude, I got this thing. I know you like camping. There's a whole like fired up program that's just north of us. Hey, I know you like going outdoor stuff. There's a hold the line run by another firefighter. They just put you in a van. And if you don't want to talk, you don't. You just go out with a bunch of guys and hang out and then come back and just to get your mind right and headspace. And so there's different things like that. Saluna Wellness is over in Hillcrest and they're an amazing place that does yoga and sound healing and like poetry and art and just ways to express yourself and get out of your own headspace to help you move on with whatever healing it is, and Foothills.
Yeah, and that's where the church should be, right? Mm-hmm. So the church showing up makes perfect sense.
Yes.
And just like what you had experienced when you were younger and in this darkness and this desperation that you were in, you found a church with a community that could support you and show you hope.
Yes.
And so that is definitely why the church is there. And I think more churches should be there and support this. It's a really good thing. Give the specifics again, plus how can people donate? Because you're really close. Your goal this year is $50,000, right?
Yeah, and we're just at the crest of 40, which is amazing. Like I said, that first year, we hoped and prayed for 10, and we got 20 the first year. And so May 17th, it opens to spectators at 9:30 in the morning at El Monte Park out here in Lakeside County. It's free for spectators. Once again, register cars. You can go onto the Motors for Minds Instagram page. You can email me at motorsforminds@gmail.com. Or you can go into the San Diego Firefighter Aid website and you can register with them and find out more information about the show. But yeah, all of the money that we raise goes towards the Firefighter Aid organization. And to get back to how the fire departments and system works, the Firefighter Relief Association is for San Diego City only. So we have about 1,000 people, 1,000 firefighters, engineers, and captains that work for San Diego City. And we have the availability to go to the Firefighter Relief Association and say, hey, we had a flooding in my house. Hey, my dog got hit by a car. Hey, my child is really sick in the hospital. Hey, I'm starting to take care of my elderly parents at my house. And they will help get you resources to make sure you are fully supported off-duty. And so the Relief Association is for San Diego City. Firefighter Aid, the organization that I'm supporting, is also a nonprofit that does that same thing for the county.
There we go.
So now you have 30 plus fire departments that are now under this umbrella of getting help from an organization. Mm-hmm. So that's why I am raising money for them.
Very good. And Tammy's going to be there. I hope she brings a horse.
I asked her. She said no.
Yeah, but you know what? Her dad's bringing his truck or his car.
Yeah, that's going to be part of the booth.
She wants us. So since I'm talking to the power broker here, she wants our booths to be next to each other.
Done.
There we go. Okay.
Just happened.
There's just so much good to it. And it seems like more and more the guests that we're having on the show are showing the love of Jesus and the hope that's in Christ everywhere in a variety of ways. Just doing exactly what Brianna told you. You being you in Christ to those people that are in desperate need.
That's what Scent's all about, right?
Yeah.
It's been, I brought one of these posters and I was going to show you guys. So every year I have a car that's on the front.
So this isn't your banana Suburban.
This is not my banana Suburban. This is John Milner's, if anybody, American Graffiti. It was shot in Modesto. It's the old school. Anyways, it's a classic car movie. This is the car that they used in that show.
Okay.
Or in that movie. But every year it's something specific. So this year, 1932 Ford, my grandfather was born in 32 and he passed away this year.
Oh, wow.
And so right before he passed away, I got the art done. So I got to show him like, hey, grandpa, this is the car for this year. And he was like, that's a cool car. I'm like, you know what year it is? And he goes, oh, it's like a 30s. And I was like, it's a 32. And he goes, he's like, hey, oh, that's a good year kind of thing. And I was like, yeah, this year's dedicated to you. And he ended up passing away a couple of months after that. So he got to see it and it was a total blessing. But the year before that was a 57 Chevy. My mom was born in 57. The year before that was a 69 Coronet, which was my uncle's car. That car made me fall in love with cars. It was a 440. That thing, you turned it on and so you're like, oh yes, everything internal about boys are like, make it loud. Like it was like, yes. So that was the car that made me fall in love with cars. The other part of the poster is you'll see that there's three distinct parts to it. So I've done a Father, Son, Holy Spirit part of my poster. Every year you'll see that it has either a line going this way or a circle or whatever it is. But every year it's my own. It's the only thing that
I love it.
Not many people know.
Yeah.
But that's why there's three parts to it.
I get it. And I love the fact that you got so many sponsors, that there's so many people that are behind this. And this is one of those things,
amazing.
Like you shouldn't run over dogs and you should support the mental health of people that are taking good care of us, right?
Those are two things. Wow, write that down.
Yeah. Cats, I don't know about. That's off the table. I can't really say anything about that. But it's just you're doing good work, man. You know, and
if I could just give one testimony about that.
Yeah.
We have, our job is very dangerous and we have a lot of stuff that goes on. A lot of people have PTSD about calls that they've seen and I've unfortunately seen a ton of things that people shouldn't see, and just like the rest of the fire and first responder community. And so there was an incident where firefighters were on a wildland fire. So they're out in the forest, and what can happen is those fires move at freeway speed, which people don't really have the concept of because they've never seen the magnitude of what fire can do. And so you have 40-50 mile an hour fire flame going in front. And so there was a strike team out, and a particular fire strike team was being overcome by fire, and they have to deploy shelters. And so a shelter is pretty much just, you look like a baked potato, but it's like a, it's foil on the outside and it's covered, and it's an emergency thing that you have to pull out the back of your backpack and you have to cover in it, dig a hole for you to breathe inside of the dirt and wait for the fire to pass over, and hopefully it goes off, it goes, passes you in time with that speed that it doesn't stay enough in time to actually burn you to nothing. And this firefighter was involved in what we call a burnover situation. So they were burned over. So they had to deploy, and they were like, they looked at each other like possibly for the last time. Okay, deploy. And as soon as you say deploy, that's, it's goodbye. It's, all right. So these guys deployed. They got burned over. They survived. And this particular firefighter went home and every night woke up screaming, woke up with the cold sweats.
Oh my gosh.
Could not get over that particular thing. Come to find out, they were on the path of, I don't need this anymore. I can't do this. I can't deal with this. I don't want this. This is so overwhelming that I can't deal with it, and was on the path. He's just having a tremendous time trying to figure out what to do, and he can't figure anything out. And so he's, this is going to be it. So he had his letter written out. He was done. And then what he told me was, he's, I randomly happened to be on Instagram and I saw one of your posts, and every 8 to 10 posts, I do a mental health picture saying, you got this, or hang in there, or there's people out there that want to help you. And I had tagged 20 different resources, including Foothills and a bunch of different mental health resources. And he said that nothing else is working. I might as well click on one of these today. And he clicked on one, and he's getting counseling, and he's now out of that space. And so he came and told me at the show.
Wow.
And so I was like, sitting there like, what? And so like, he got, and he now volunteers every year. But that story from him was absolutely
how rewarding,
amazing. And it's just, it was just like, and then I had the conversation with God. I was like, God, you did it. Mm-hmm. Like, you did it. We got one. But that's honestly, cool. It's like, fruit. It worked. All of this work, all of those, me emailing O'Neill to get a free wetsuit or whatever, or praise all these, the can I have a free bunch of burgers to raffle, to raise money, and all of that work and all that, everything in it. Ugh. We got one. And
thank you,
it's
Jesus.
So beautiful when he shows you, but Justin, you don't know how many you have helped,
right,
that haven't said, right? That haven't told you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, one of your posts, I'd like to wrap it up with this, because this is your heart, and this is what you posted, and this is what we should all be doing, especially with people that are in positions like this. We've got to be aware of it, because everybody isn't shouting, hey, I need help, I need help.
Right.
And it just said, speak life into others, encourage their dreams, support their ideas, point out their strengths, their talents, their potential. Sometimes all it takes is one person to remind us that we are capable. And that's what Motor for Minds is all about.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.